We are ready to start speaking about our ways with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does it mean to be of adab towards the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after having dedicated 2 weeks speaking about our adab towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And in order for us to be able to appreciate the majesty of what we're about to speak, i.e. how do I demonstrate my adab towards my beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I feel that it is necessary to begin with an introduction. To understand first and foremostly who the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is his maqam, his status, in the eyes of the maker of the heavens and the earth? And how Allah Almighty sees him will therefore then become a reflection of how you should see your Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. For if Allah Almighty, Al-Malik, the Sovereign, subhanahu wa ta'ala, sees him in this huge light, then that needs to have some consequence on my life. So before we start listing adab number 1 and 2 and 3 towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam in our modern contemporary setting, let us first understand, who is this Nabiul Kareem, this Honorable Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And as you hear this, I want it to reflect on yourself. And we can never quench from this river. We can never inhale enough of the air and the breeze where our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioned and praised and remembered and honored. لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Allah Almighty wants us to honor the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah Almighty creates, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He chooses. So not only does Allah Almighty create, but then Allah Almighty nominates from His creation who sits at the top of the hierarchy and all the way down. He said, وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يختار. Your Lord creates as He wills and He chooses. So He has months, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He chooses the best of them. And He has heavens, He chooses the best of them. He has angels, He created, and He chooses the best of them. And He's created mankind as well, and He chooses the best of them. Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Allah Almighty knows best where to place prophethood. So these messengers who came into being and who rose to fame with this burden, this task and honor of nubuwa, prophethood, it wasn't arbitrary. It was something that Allah Almighty saw in their hearts that qualified them for this noble place. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu created mankind, and then He chose from mankind the anbiya, the prophets. And then He chose again from the prophets, the rusul, the messengers. And then He chose from the messengers, ulul azmi min ar-rusul, the 5 great messengers of perseverance. And then He chose from the 5 who are Ibrahim and Nuh and Musa and Isa and our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From the 5 He chose 2, Al-Khalilan, the 2 close friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet of Allah, Ibrahim, and the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then He chose yet again, and He nominated our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam to be the last of the messengers, the seal of the prophets, and the finest, most honorable, and the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. One of the poets, he said, أَغَرٌ عَلَيْهِ لِلنُّبُوَّةِ خَاتَمٌ مِّن نُورٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ يَلُوحُ وَيَشْهَدُ وَضَمَّ الْإِلَهُ اسْمَ النَّبِيِّ إِلَى اسْمِهِ إِذَا قَالَ الْمُؤَذِّنُ فِي الْخَمْسِ يَشْهَدُ وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ اسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ فَذُو الْعَرْشِ مَحْمُودٌ وَهَذَا مُحَمَّدُ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, consider the honor of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, where 5 times a day when you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I testify none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, you say instantly, side by side with it, the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I testify that Muhammad is the slave and the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 5 times a day this is happening in the Muslim parts of the world and in many of the non-Muslim parts of the world, which means that there is not a second of any minute, of any hour, of any day where the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not being mentioned somewhere and filling the horizons. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Allahu Akbar wa rafa'na laka dhikrak. Allah caused his fame to rise. And he said, وَشَقَّ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْمِهِ لِيُجِلَّهُ. That there is a commonality between the name of Allah Almighty and the name Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the names of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu is Al-Hamid, which means the worthy of all praise. And he chose for his final messenger the name Muhammad, which means the worthy of praise. There is a common derivative there of Hamd, praise. How praiseworthy must he be, therefore, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. There isn't any aspect of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that Allah Almighty has not praised. You praise people, how do you and I praise them? We say, yeah, he's a good man. He's a good chap. Yeah, he's well-mannered. Yeah, he's ameen, he's trustworthy. But then Allah Almighty praises His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in every dimension, in every aspect, things that you could imagine, what you cannot imagine. So come with me on this journey. Allah Almighty, He praises the mind of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He said about his mind, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Your companion, your friend, meaning the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he does not, nor does he go astray. Allah Almighty has praised his glances. Allah praises his vision. Allah notices, Allah acknowledges the adab, the manners in his vision, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا زَاغَ الْبَصَرُ وَمَا طَغَى. His eyesight, his gaze, didn't turn from left to right, nor did it transgress boundaries. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praised his truthfulness when he spoke. He said, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He doesn't speak from his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. It's revelation that we gave to him. Allah Almighty has praised his heart. He said, مَا كَذَبَ الْفُؤَادُ مَا رَأَى. His heart was never untrue in making him see what he saw. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised his purity, his tahara, his inward and outward tahara, his status as a man who was forgiven. Allah said about him, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ. We have removed from you your burdens of sin. Allah said about him, لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Allah has forgiven your past and future sins. He has praised his purity. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu has praised his fame. And he said, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Have we not raised your fame high? Allah Almighty even praised his rahmah, his pity towards the believers. He said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ. It grieves him that you should be in hardship. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. He's anxious over you. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. For the believers, he is full of pity and mercy, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu would praise him in his totality. And he would say in one short, comprehensive ayah, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You behave with sublime morality. Ya ilahi, to hear that somebody you respect, your mentor, sheikh, your parents, spoke about you something positively in your absence, causes your skin to crawl, it makes you happy, ecstatic. What a vibe to know that they spoke highly of you. What then when Allah, the maker of the heavens and the earth, who has the keys to Jannah and Jahannam, praises every single aspect of your being, what must he be there for in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You see why this is a very important segue, this lecture, this evening. Before we start speaking about adab number 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first of all, who is he in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So that it may rub off on us. And so that we have a huge incentive to show him the adab that he deserves even after he has passed away alayhi salatu wa sallam. When we know who he is in the eyes of Allah Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect I want you to take note of, and that is There isn't any prophet of Allah Almighty in the Quran. Or let us put it like this. Every prophet and messenger mentioned in the Quran, for the most part, were addressed with their name, plainly, without titles attached to it. With the exception to our Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was never addressed plainly with his name, O Muhammad. It's a phenomenal observation. So when you speak about the Prophet of Allah, Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah says to him, Ya Adam, uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. O Adam, live, you and your wife in Jannah. He addresses him, O Adam, harfu nida, O Adam. Allah Almighty, he said, Ya Nuh, O Nuh, ihbit bi salamin minna wa barakat. Descend with peace and blessings upon us. O Nuh. Ibrahim, Ya Ibrahimu, qad saddaqta ar-ru'ya. O Ibrahim, Allah addresses him with no titles. You have fulfilled the dream. Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. O Dawood, Allah says, we have made you a successor on the earth. Ya Musa, inni istafaytuka 'ala an-nas. O Musa, Allah says, no titles. I have chosen you over the people. Ya Isa, inni mutawaffik. O Isa, Allah says, I'm going to take you up and raise you to myself. Wa rafi'uka ilayya. And so on. However, when Allah Jalla Jalaluhu addresses the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not once in the Quran, I dare you to find the ayah where Allah says, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, this does not exist in the book of Allah Almighty. Every time Allah Almighty addresses his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is always with his title of respect. O Messenger of Allah, Ya Ayyuha Rasulu, La Yahzunka, Alladina Yusari'una Fil Kufr. O Messenger of Allah, don't be saddened by those who are rushing into disbelief. Ya ayyuha ar-rasulu, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. O Messenger, convey what has come to you from your Lord. O Messenger. Ya ayyuha an-nabi, O Prophet, inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. We've sent you as a witness, bearer of good news, and a warner. La ilaha illallah. Sometimes Allah Almighty will address him with his sifa, with his characteristic, with the state that he was in at the time of the address. Ya ayyuhal muzzammil, ya ayyuhal muddathir. O you who is wrapped up in his garments. O you who is shrouded in his sheets. And if and when the name of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam appears in the Quran, it is connected straight away with his title as Messenger of Allah. Like what? Muhammadun Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ. What is Muhammad but a Messenger? لا إله إلا الله. At times you speak, I mean, I had this with my supervisors, and I'm speaking to my Professor Martin. He gets to a point where he says, you don't have to keep saying Professor, you can say Martin. Now, as us, as maybe Arabs or Asians, we find this a little bit distasteful. Somebody who's old enough to be your grandfather, you don't call him by his first name, let alone your professor at university as well, and so on. Yeah, you don't have to call me Professor anymore. Yet with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when addressing his Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, there is never an exception that is made to him. Even for himself subhanahu wa ta'ala, when speaking about his Prophet, it is always, O Messenger, O Prophet, O Messenger, O Prophet. Maqam, a status that is unbelievably high. We cannot fathom alayhi salatu wasalam. And how kind was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he made us from his ummah alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Abbas has a phenomenal statement and a unique observation in the Quran that is gifted to the Prophet ﷺ and not to anybody else. He says, and I will translate. He said, Wallahi ma khalaq Allahu wa la dhara'a wa la bara'a nafsan akram ala Allahi min Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I swear by Allah, Allah has not created, fashioned, or originated any human being that is dearer to him and more honorable than Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he says the following, take note of this. This is the observation. He said, وَمَا سَمِعْتُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُقْسِمُ بِحَيَاتِ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِحَيَاتِهِ. And I have not recited any ayah in the Quran. I have not come across any verse in the Quran where Allah Almighty takes an oath by the life of a human being except by the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is the ayah in the Quran where Allah takes an oath by his life? Ahsant. Yeah. لَعَمْرُكَ إِنَّهُمْ لَفِي سَكْرَتِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ from Surah Hijr, where Allah says, by your life, I swear by your life, O Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were wandering blindly in their intoxication, meaning the people of Lut and their fetishes. So Allah says, by your life, and Allah the Mighty will only take an oath by that which is mighty. And that's why people today, when they want to draw your attention to something big that they want to say, they say, I swear by my mom's life, I swear by my dad's life, I swear on my nan's grave. All of this, of course, is haram. We only take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, man kana halifan falyahlif billah. But the idea is that you don't swear upon something insignificant, you choose something mighty. And that's why in the Quran, Allah takes an oath upon what? The mighty things. What did our imam recite today in the first rak'ah? Was-sama'i, dhatil buruj, wal-yawmi, al-maw'ud, wa-shahidin, wa-mashhud. What are these four oaths? Major oaths that Allah Almighty is taking on these stars and Yawm al-Qiyamah. So Allah Almighty, He says, I swear by your life, therefore His life is a very precious one, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Imam al-Tirmidhi narrates in his Jami' another phenomenal experience our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam he had. This time it wasn't with a human being. On the authority of Anas ibn Malik, who said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أُوتِيَ بِالْبُرَاقِ لَيْلَةَ الْإِسْرَائِي مُلْجَمًا مُسْرَجًا. He said the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was presented with the buraq on the night of the night journey. What is the buraq? The animal of Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Jayid. Al-buraq is the mode of transportation of all of the prophets and messengers. Some narrations suggest that the buraq was actually the vehicle of transportation for all of the prophets, from Adam alayhi salam down to Sulaiman and Dawood, and including our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was, of course, his mode of transportation on the night journey, taking him from Masjid al-Haram in Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. So Anas ibn Malik narrates that the buraq was delivered to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam on the night journey to transfer him. Muljaman musraja, which means fully bridled and fully saddled, ready to go. The narration said, فَاسْتَصْعَبَ عَلَيْهِ. The buraq behaved in some sort of uncooperative way. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam struggled to mount its back. So Jibreel, he looks at the buraq and he said to him, أَبِي مُحَمَّدٍ تَفْعَلُ هَذَا. Is this how you behave with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam? فَوَاللَّهِ مَا رَكِيبَكَ أَحَدٌ أَكْرَمُ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُ. He said, I swear by Allah, no creation more honorable to Allah Almighty than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam has ever ridden your back. The narration said, فَرْفَضَّ حَرَقَى. So the buraq broke out in a sweat. He realized what was before him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it's amazing because every night he ascended to a heaven during the night journey, seven destinations. And each time, Angel Jibreel is knocking on the gates. And there are angels allowing people in and not allowing others in. This is a hadith in the Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Malik ibn Sa'sa'a. And he would knock. The angel would say, man. He would say, Jibreel. Who is it? Jibreel. Man ma'ak, who's with you? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the tone of the angels would change. Awaqad ursil? Oh, he has become a messenger now. أهلاً ومرحباً ولنعم المجيء جاء. They said, أهلاً مرحباً, welcome, and how honorable is the one who has visited us today. So they are saying, oh, he has become a messenger, as if to say, the heavens have been talking about this man, and they were told by Allah Almighty that he's going to become a messenger. They just didn't know that he had now become a messenger. Oh, he has become a messenger. مرحباً به, welcome to him. وَلَنِعْمَ الْمَجِيءُ جَاءَ. How wonderful, how honorable is the one who has arrived today. And then they would make their way to the second heaven, knock. Who is it? Jibreel. Who's with you? Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Oh, he has become a messenger. مَرْحَبًا بِهِ. How honorable is the one who has visited. This happened 7 times. He's known to the heavens, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We have raised high for you your fame. Another really interesting observation is that the Quran tells us about the prophets of Allah who were ridiculed by their people and insulted. And then the Quran in the same breath tells you that the prophet took it upon himself to defend himself. So they would be told something to insult their intelligence, insult their sanity, and the prophet would defend himself. So the prophet of Allah, Hud, Allah Almighty said about him, that his people said about him, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاهَةٍ. We see that you are a fool. أستغفر الله وأتوب إليه. وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And we think you're a liar. What was the response for those who've memorized? أيوة. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِي لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَةٍ. He said, oh my people, there is no foolishness in me. وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. I am a messenger from the Lord of the world. He was insulted and who defended himself? The Prophet of Allah, Nuh, same situation. إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. We see that you are upon a clear error. What was the response? قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي ضَلَالًا. My people, there is no error in me. But I am a messenger from Allah Almighty. And similarly, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ridiculed and was insulted, as were all of the prophets before him. وَقَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِي نُزِّلَ عَلَيْهِ الذِّكْرُ إِنَّكَ لَمَجْنُونَ. Oh, you who claims that you have received revelation, you're a madman. This is what the Quran said that they said about him. But who was the one who took it upon himself to defend the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? لا إله إلا الله. He wouldn't even be given the opportunity to defend himself because the response would come from the heavens, from the king directly. وَمَا صَاحِبُكُمْ بِمَجْنُونَ. Your companion has no insanity in him. They said, he is a poet. Quran comes to rescue him. وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. It's not the word of a poet. قَلِيلًا مَا تُؤْمِنُونَ. You just lack faith. They said, he's a soothsayer. كَاهِن. Allah Almighty said, وَلَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِن. This is not the word of a soothsayer. قَلِيلًا مَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. But you just don't remember. تَنْزِيلٌ مِنْ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is just a revelation from Allah, the Lord of the world. A mighty man in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See how all of this is preparatory content for us so that when we start speaking about what we owe him in terms of adab, the foundation is fully laid. Allah Almighty sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in such a light that he subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring an entire civilization to its knees if they even insult the letter that was sent to them by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what he means to him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Almighty will give endurance, longevity, mileage, years for kingdoms and civilizations and empires if they simply honor the paper that was sent to them by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Proof. He sends a letter, alayhi salatu wa salam, to Kisra, Khosrows, the emperor of Persia, inviting him to Islam. What does the emperor do? He rips it apart. News is conveyed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that your letter was ripped apart by the Kisra, the Khosrows emperor of Persia. So he makes a dua, O Allah Almighty, as he tore apart the letter, inviting him to you tear apart his kingdom. Not long after this, news is sent to Medina that Khosrows has been overthrown. Khosrows has been killed by his son. Then a few years later, Amir al-Mu'min Umar becomes Khalifa. And it is the end of the Persian Empire. A civilization that lasted for hundreds of years, if not thousands, comes to an end because they dishonored the letter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is who he is in the eyes of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Whereas he sends another letter to Ar-Rum, to the Romans, inviting them to Islam. And Heraclius assesses their letter. He invites certain Arabs who are at war with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to interrogate them about this man who claims to be a prophet. And he asks them around 5 or 6 questions to Abu Sufyan, who was a non-Muslim at the time. He realized, this is the last messenger of Allah Almighty sent to humanity, but arrogance or fear of losing his position didn't allow him to accept Islam. Nevertheless, he honored the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they took good care of it, and they glorified it, and they would pass it down from emperor to emperor. In fact, Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in his Fathul Bari, in the commentary of the hadith where Abu Sufyan is speaking to Heraclius about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has a phenomenal incident that he documents. He said that the king of Faranja, he calls him Malikul Faranj. The king of Faranj, in my research, I think that they are speaking about Alfonso VI, and I could be mistaken, about 600 years ago from now, not too long ago, invited a man, a Muslim delegate by the name of Saifuddin, to his presence. Saifuddin arrived representing the Muslims. And this king of the Faranj, supposedly Alfonso VI or someone else, but somebody representing the Roman Empire, said to the Muslim delegate, I have an item, I have an artifact that might be of some interest to you. You can imagine Saifuddin's heart pounding with curiosity. And then a chest is brought. Ibn Hajar mentions this, a chest, which has compartments. And each compartment is holding treasure, gold. And they pulled out from the chest a particular drawer. And from that drawer, they pulled out from the treasure a long and thin diamond-encrusted box. Then they opened the box. There were 2 pieces of silk. And wedged between those 2 pieces of silk was a worn-out paper with faded inscriptions. He said to him, hold this. He held it. He said to him, this is the letter that your prophet sent to my ancestor, Caesar, many, many years ago, inviting him to your religion. He said, our ancestors have told us to pass it down from emperor to emperor. And they told us that if we do that, God Almighty will allow our kingdom to endure. He said, فَنَحْنُ نُحْفَظُهُ غَايَةَ الْحِفْظِ. Therefore, we protect this paper diligently. We protect this paper diligently. وَنُعَظِّمُهُ. And we glorify this paper. We honor it. وَنَحْفَظُهُ مِنْ أَعْيُونِ النَّصَارَى أَوْ قَالَ نَكْتُمُهُ مِنْ أَعْيُونِ النَّصَارَى. And we make sure that the Christians don't learn about this letter. لِيَدُومَ الْمُلْكُ فِينَا. So that our kingdom endures. So, I'm quite certain that this letter exists somewhere on earth today. Somewhere in the universities of Oxford or Cambridge or Harvard or in those mysterious vaults of the Vatican, right? It's there somewhere. Wallahu a'lam. And perhaps this is the secret why Allah Almighty is allowing Rome, what we call today America, Europe, and the other parts of the Western world to endure today amidst other properties, I am sure as well, that there is some honoring of the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah Almighty to enable us to see this paper, to feel this paper that was written by our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and to retrieve it and to be in the hands of its rightful owners. So Allah Jalla Jalaluhu will pull down empires, civilizations, if they honor, if they dishonor the letter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he will do the opposite for those who honor the invitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. As a quick footnote here, we may say, therefore, what type of honoring will come to you as a Muslim who honors every aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just a paper that he sent? What type of honoring awaits you in this world? What type of honoring awaits you in your grave? What type of honoring awaits you on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Be hopeful, be excited to meet him, alayhi salatu wasalam. More importantly, be hopeful to meet Allah Almighty, who will be the one to reward you for this love and reverence that you had for his Habib, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Almighty will stand in the defense of the Prophet. Allah Almighty will continue to stand in the defense of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam during his lifetime, 1400 years ago, until the end of time after his passing. Allah will defend his name because he said, "Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'een." Allah said, "We have already taken care for you, those who try to mock you. We've already taken care of them," Allah said. "We've spared you of their harm." And Allah Almighty, he said, "Wallahu ya'asimuka minan nas." Allah will protect you from the people. That's during his life and that's after his death, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Allah Almighty said, "Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar." The one who despises you, that's the one who's cut off from all good. There is a narration which Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah mentions in his book Asarib al-Maslul. Phenomenal. He said, "Haddathani الثقات من أهل الفقه والخبرة." He said, "Righteous and trustworthy, reliable people have told me." He said, "People of knowledge and experience, they've told me a first-hand account. They said that whenever we would go out fighting in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we would besiege a particular fort of the Romans, وَيَسْتَصْعِبُ عَلَيْنَا, and we would struggle to breach it till we would almost despair and walk away. If and when we hear them insulting the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as much as our hearts rip in pain, it also fills with optimism as we know that the victory of Allah is now near." He said, "فَوَاللَّهِ لَا يَمُرُّ يَوْمٌ أَوْ يَوْمَانِ فَيَفْتَحُهُ اللَّهُ لَنَا." After they insult him, 1 or 2 days, he said, "By Allah, 1 or 2 days max, and Allah Almighty conquers the fort." Allah does not tolerate any derogatory speech towards our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in a phenomenal narration that took place during the Mongol Empire, Ibn Hajar mentioned this in his book, Ad-Durar al-Kamina. He said, the Christian missionaries used to send out proselytizers to convert people to Christianity in the midst of the Mongols. And this was facilitated by the Mongols because Hulagu Khan, who is one of the grandsons of Genghis Khan, Hulagu Khan was married to a woman called Dokoz Khatun. And Dokoz Khatun, she was a Christian crusader herself. So she facilitated the presence of the Christian missionaries to spread Christianity in the midst of the Mongols. And on one evening, there was a celebration, there was a party of some sort for one of the princes who had converted to Christianity. And as they were there celebrating and talking, he got up to deliver a speech. And during the speech, he was insulting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there was a nearby hunting dog that the Mongols were famous for using, and they tied this dog to one of the poles, Ibn Hajar, he said. And the dog started howling at him. And he continued berating our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The dog managed to break free from the rope and pounced at him, and it gashed him. And so they managed to pull away the dog, and they tied it back to the pole, and they attended to his wounds. And one of the congregants, he made a joke, just in jest. And he said, "It seemed that the dog was upset because you were speaking about the Prophet of Islam." He said, no, it's not that. It's just a proud dog. It's a proud dog. It's a hunting dog. And so when I was waving my finger like this in my speech, it thought that I was threatening it. That's all. So anyway, he got up after he attended to his wounds and he continued speaking in a more vile way against our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Hajar, he said, the dog this time managed to break free from the rope a second time, this time pouncing at his face and ripping out his throat. He died on the scene. Ibn Hajar, he said, by the end of that evening, 40,000 Mongols embraced Islam. Inna kafaynaka al-mustahzi'in. Allah said, we have already taken care of those who mock you. We've already dealt with them. So, for those who are unsure of the status of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this will become a reality that everybody will become familiar with, but on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you are aware of this because you made a dua for this after you heard the adhan this evening. What am I referring to? Any gathering, we will conclude with this narration, that speaks in praise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot and must not and inshallah will not exclude this narration that I share with you. Any gathering that speaks of the honoring of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in the eyes of Allah Almighty is deficient if this narration is omitted. Which narration is this? Hadithu Ash-Shafa'ah, which Bukhari and Muslim narrates on the authority of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said in a long hadith, in a graphic hadith, speaking about event in the near future, on Yawm al-Qiyamah, اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ, where you and I will witness it ourselves. And he sat with his companions and he said, preempting this day, he said, أَنَا سَيِّدُ وَلَدِ آدَمَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He said to the Sahaba, I will be the leader of all humanity on the Day of Judgment. In another narration he added, وَلَا فَخْرَ. And I don't say this with any type of pride. هَلْ تَدْرُونَ مِمَّا ذَاكَ. He said, do you know why that is? And then he begins to explain to them this event that will happen on the Day of Resurrection. He said, يَجْمَعُ اللَّهُ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ. Allah Almighty will on the Day of Resurrection gather the first and the last of creation. عَلَى صَعِيدٍ وَاحِدٍ. On one flat plain of land. فَيُبْصِرُهُمُ النَّاظِرُ وَيُسْمِعُهُمُ الدَّاعِي. They will all be visible to one another. And they will all hear the announcements that are being made on that day. Because it's one flat land where there's no hills, there's no caves, there's no homes, there's no walls, there's nothing for you to even lean on, there's no shade either. So you will see everything and you will hear everything. يُبْصِرُهُمُ النَّاظِرُ وَيُسْمِعُهُمُ الدَّاعِي وَتَدْنُو مِنْهُمُ الشَّمْسُ. And the sun will be brought dangerously close to the heads of mankind. A day of sweating, a day of heat, immense perspiration and stress. فَيَبْلُغُ النَّاسُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَالْأَلَمِ مَا لَا يُطِيقُونَ وَلَا يَحْتَمِلُونَ. So people will reach a state of distress and anxiety which they can no longer tolerate. Imagine, you're there standing in this painful way of cramming. And we have just opened the door. Jazakallah khair for doing that because of the heat. Imagine for 50,000 years and the sun is above you. And you're walking and walking and walking. It looks like it's an endless journey for 50,000 years. When will this end? So people will reach a critical limit. It's a breaking point. And they will say to each other, don't you see what we're going through? We can't take this anymore. أَلَا تَرَوْنَ مَنْ يَشْفَعُ لَكُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ. Can't we go and find somebody who will speak to Allah Almighty on our behalf to start the judgment? They agree that they go to the Prophet of Allah, Adam. So imagine, they start flocking to the father of humanity, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and they plead with him. They say the following, Ya Adam, O Adam, Anta Abu al-Bashar, you are the father of humanity. خَلَقَكَ اللَّهُ بِيَدِهِ. Allah created you with his hand. وَأَسْجَدَ لَكَ مَلَائِكَتَهُ. And he calls his angels to prostrate to you. أَلَا تَرَى إِلَىٰ مَا نَحْنُ فِيهِ. Don't you see what we're going through? أَلَا تَشْفَعُ لَنَا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ. Will you not ask Allah Almighty to begin the judgment? Adam alayhi salam will say, Inna Rabbi ghadiba al-yawma ghadaba lam yaghdab qablahu wa lan yaghdab ba'dahu mithlah. He said, my Lord is angry on this day. He has never been this angry and he never will be this angry? Of course, Allah Almighty will be angry on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. You have seen the constant feed of bloodshed, massacre, limbless children, global silence there in Gaza, and a genocide that now seems to be widening and engulfing the entire region, an entire Arab and a non-Arab world that is complicit. And you wonder why Yawm Al-Qiyamah is 50,000 years long. There are a lot of scores to settle on that day. Don't you see the stress that we're going? He says, my Lord is angry on this day. He's never been this angry, Adam says, alayhi salam. He will never be this angry. And then he said about himself, Allah Almighty prohibited me from eating from the tree, and I ate from it. So nafsi, 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 myself, 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 all I care about is myself. Idhabu ila ghayri, go to someone else. Idhabu ila Nuh, go to Prophet Nuh. People are on a breaking point. So they make their way to the Prophet of Allah, Nuh. They plead with him, Ya Nuh, O Nuh, Anta awwalu rusulullahi ila al-ard. You are the first of the messengers that Allah Almighty sent to the earth. وَقَدْ سَمَّاكَ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. And Allah has called you in the Qur'an a grateful slave. Don't you see what we're going through? Will you not intercede on our behalf and ask your Lord to start the judgment? Nuh will say, my Lord is angry on this day. He has never been this angry, and he will never be this angry. And I had one dua that was answered during my life, and I chose to direct this dua against my people so that Allah will drown them. So nafsi, 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 myself, myself, myself. Go to someone else. Go to Ibrahim alayhi salam. People now, they flock there looking between the millions of people. Ibrahim, there he is. Ibrahim, they make their way to Ibrahim alayhi salam. Oh Ibrahim, anta Rasulullah, anta Nabiullah, wa anta khaliluhu min khalqihi. You are the Prophet of Allah. You are the intimate friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't you see what we're going through? Can you ask Allah to begin the judgment? We can't do this ourselves. Maybe you can. The Prophet of Allah Ibrahim will say, my Lord is angry on this day. Never has he been this angry. He will never be this angry. And in my life, I uttered three lies. They were not really lies. He was getting himself out of difficult circumstances. For those of you who know, he said, I uttered thalathu kadibat, three lies in my life. So nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Even Ibrahim, who was the most to resemble our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in character, in iman, and in physical appearance as well, he will say, go away. Myself, myself, myself. It's an incredibly stressful day when the prophets who were chosen by Allah to deliver people from hell, they're saying, leave me. It's all about me. Nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Go to someone else. Go to Musa. So people are looking, where is Musa? Where is Musa? They're asking, where is Musa? There's Musa. They make their way to Musa. Oh Musa, you are the messenger of Allah. Istafaka Allahu bi risalatihi wa bi kalamihi ala nas. Allah Almighty chose you as a messenger, and he spoke to you without a middleman. They're praising him in the hope that he will be convinced to go and to speak to Allah on their behalf. Don't you see what we're going through? Will you not intercede on our behalf? Musa will say, إِنِّي قَتَلْتُ نَفْسًا لَمْ أُمَرْ بِقَتْلِهَا. In my life, I killed somebody that I wasn't supposed to kill. So nafsi, nafsi, nafsi. Myself, myself, myself. Go to somebody else. Go to Isa. So they go to Jesus alayhi salam, the son of Mary. They plead with him. Oh Isa alayhi salam, don't you see what we are going through? Will you not intercede on our behalf? Isa alayhi salam will say, my Lord is angry on this day. He has never been this angry, and he will never ever be this angry. And in the narration that I'm sharing with you, he will not mention a sin that he committed. Although in another narration mentioned by At-Tirmidhi in his Jami'ah, he will say, وَإِنِّي عُبِدْتُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. I was worshipped besides Allah. You want me to go and speak to Allah Almighty? They took me as a god. And here he is, our Lord. I can't speak to him on this day. Go to someone else. Go to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now these people, they are making their way to their Savior. They meet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah knows what type of state of honoring he will be on that day when he speaks to them. And they will say to him, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anta Rasulullah, you are the Messenger of Allah. Wa khatamun nabiyyin, you are the seal of the Prophet. وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَرَ Allah has forgiven your past and your future sins. It's as if they're saying to him, please don't do what the other prophets did. Please don't tell us of a sin that you committed because we know from the Quran that you have no sins. Allah has forgiven your past and future sins. Let's get to the bottom of this. Don't you see, O Messenger of Allah, what we are going through? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will say to them, أنا لها. I am the one for this. أنا لها. I am the one for this. أنا لها. I am the one for this. He said, فأنطلق فآتي تحت العرش. So I will make my way until I stand beneath the throne of Allah جل جلاله. فأخر ساجدا على وجهي. Then I fall into prostration. Pause that scene in your mind for a moment. All of humanity, mankind and jinnkind, the African, the Mongolian, the Chinese, the Arab, the non-Arab, the jinn, all of them, the angels, they are observing the scene. As he was able to do something that none of them, no human, no jinn, no angel, not even Jibreel, had access to this moment. He is there prostrating beneath the throne of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. He said, فَيَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ مِنْ مَحَامِدِهِ وَحُسْنِ الثَّنَاءِ عَلَيْهِ مَا لَمْ يَفْتَحُ عَلَى أَحَدٍ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ He said there, beneath the throne of Allah as I prostrate, Allah will inspire me to praise Him with words that no human being has ever used to praise Allah. So if Allah honors us brothers, and allows us to enter Jannah, let us remind each other to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to teach us this dua that he said in praise of Allah with words that have never been used in praise of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Almighty will then say to His Habib, His beloved, Ya Muhammad, O Muhammad, irfa ra'sak, raise your head. Raise your head. The honoring of Allah for His Prophet. Raise your head. Wasal tu'ta, make your request. I'll give it to you. Washfa' tu shafa', make your intercession. I'll grant it to you. What do you want? Why have you come? What do you want from me? And he will say what? Nafsi, 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 myself, myself, myself. No. He will be the only exception. He will say, Ummati ya Rabb, Ummati ya Rabb, Ummati ya Rabb, my nation, ya Allah. And with this intercession, the judgment begins. So the whole of humanity are put out of the misery of Yawm al-Qiyamah, though it ends with paradise or hell. But the process now moves. It's a brand new phase in this long day because of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this was a position no one could attain but him. And that is why Allah, He says in the Quran, speaking to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدَ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا Pray at night, some optional prayers, Allah said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Carry out optional prayers in the night because it may be that Allah will raise you to a place of praise. What is this maqam al-mahmood, this honorable position of praise? It's the one I just shared with you. When all of humanity will see him for what only he was able to do, and they will all unify in the praise of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pray at night some extra prayers. It may be that your Lord will raise you one day to a very praiseworthy station. And this is the dua that you made, as I mentioned earlier. After you heard the adhan, what did you say at the end of it? وَبَعَثْهُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا الَّذِي وَعَدْتَهُ Oh Allah, allow him, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, allow him to attain this position of praise that you have promised him. And finally, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will now arrive, fast forwarding to the end of Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the bridge has finished and the scales have finished and the interrogation has finished. Alhamdulillah. And now it's just the believers, Ya Rabbi, make us amongst them. Making our way now finally, with faces beaming like the full moon, making our way to the gates of Jannah. Muslim narrates on the authority of Anas ibn Malik that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, آتي باب الجنة. I will make my way to the gates of Jannah. فأستفتح. And I will knock. I will seek permission to go in. The first of the human beings now to make his way to Jannah. And we are behind him, inshallah. فأستفتح. I will seek permission. And they will say, who is it? And he will say, Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the angels will say, بِكَ أُمِرْتُ لَا أَفْتَحُ لِأَحَدٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. I have received instructions from Allah Almighty to not open the gates of Jannah to anyone before you. And this is when the gates of Jannah enter, and he is the first to see what Allah Almighty has prepared for him, and prepared for his ummah, and prepared for the other Muslim nations of the world. So this is just a very quick snapshot of who the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was just setting the foundation, setting the scene. So that in 2 weeks' time, when we now start speaking about what does it mean to have adab, manners towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I hope we will all be ears, ready to listen, ready to write down as we have agreed, and ready to apply bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and to give this honorable Prophet the haq that he deserves. Alayhi salatu wassalam, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad, alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.